Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So good to be here this morning. Hey, if you've got your Bibles here this morning, I want you to turn to the book of John chapter 11. We're going to read a great story this morning out of the book of John chapter 11. And just to give you a little bit of background on this story, we have Jesus, his friends with a guy by the name of Lazarus. The story, the backdrop to this story is Lazarus has died. In fact, he's actually been dead for 4 days when we pick up this story. Lazarus has two sisters. Jesus is friends with them as well. The sisters' names are Mary and Martha. So let's pick up the story in John chapter 11, verse 20. It's going to come up on the screen as well. It says, "So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you asked from God, God will give you.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.'" I love that. "Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection, Martha, and I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me, they shall never die. Do you believe this?' And she said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is coming into the world.' When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, 'The teacher is here calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to meet him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there for her brother. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her, who were also weeping, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and was greatly troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?' Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it." Listen to this. Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, "Teacher, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around me so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out. His hands and his feet were bound with linen strips and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." What a story. What a story. You know, at the start of this story, I love it how this conversation begins to open up between Jesus and Martha. The topic of the conversation is all about the resurrection. And what's the question that's being asked? I reckon it's the great question that's always asked at Easter. And the question was this. Martha was saying, "Jesus, can you resurrect someone? Jesus, can you take someone from death and can you bring them into life? Jesus, can you truly bring someone back who has been dead?" And love what Jesus says to Martha. Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection, Martha, and I am the life." In other words, what Jesus was saying to Martha, there is something incredibly powerful. He was saying to Martha, he's saying, "Hey, Martha, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until you die in order to experience this resurrection life." He says, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." What Jesus was saying was this. He's saying, "Where I go, resurrection goes. Wherever I go, life goes. And you don't have to wait until you die to experience that life and that resurrection experience in your world." Because I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus didn't come to give us more religion. Jesus came, the Bible says, to give us life. He came, the Bible says, to restore a connection that was severed between earth and heaven. He came in order that he could restore a relationship between God and us that had been cut off. Jesus came, he says, "I've come that they," that's you and I, we may have life and have it abundantly. He was speaking here of a life in relationship with Him. So Jesus says, I've come that every person may experience that life. In other words, Jesus was saying, I've come that you may live again. I've come that you may hope again. I've come that you may bloom again. I've come that you may experience the life of God. Because Jesus didn't come in order to give us religion. Jesus came to give us life. And that's what makes Easter so powerful. Because Easter is actually, it's the greatest message of hope for all humanity. That God so loved us and that God was so passionate about having a personal relationship with each of us that He didn't send us a book. He didn't send us a religious set of rules or a creed to follow. No, the Bible says that God so loved us, was so passionate about having a relationship with us that He sent His Son, and that all of us through faith in Christ may receive that life and may come to know Him. And so when Jesus, what Jesus was saying to Martha here, and she was about to not only hear those words, she was about to experience for it for herself. What Jesus was saying was this. He says, when I step into someone's world, when I step into someone's life, resurrection power is going to flow. A new life is going to begin. And so this morning, I want to give you from out of this passage, out of this story about Lazarus, I want to give you three steps to experiencing resurrection life. In verse 39, after Jesus finishes this conversation, He comes to the point, He comes to the place where Lazarus has been buried. He's been buried inside a cave, and there was a stone that was being placed in front of the cave. And Jesus says these words, I love it, four words. Jesus says to them, He says, take away the stone. Take away the stone. In other words, He's saying this, if you want to experience resurrection life, then you've got to take away the stone. You say, well, what's the stone represent? Well, here, the stone represents anything that would separate you or I from God's love. That stone represents anything that could become a wall or anything that could divide us from the love of Christ. That stone represents any barrier that could stop His word from entering into our hearts. And that stone can be all sorts of different things. That stone could be sin. That stone, it could be unforgiveness. That stone, it could be religious tradition or a wrong mindset about who God is. And what Jesus was saying, He's saying is this, if we can take away that stone, if we can just remove that wall that divides, He says, my resurrection life can come into your world. But I love what Martha's reaction is because it's quite curious. Jesus says, I want to take away anything that divides you and me. In other words, what Jesus is saying, I'm drawing near to you, but there's a wall that's been dividing us. There's a barrier that's up. He says, let's take away that stone. But Martha's response is curious. She says this. Martha says to Him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. And my brother, Lazarus, he's been dead for 4 days. In other words, Martha was afraid to take away that stone. Why was she afraid? Because she was afraid that Jesus would see and experience what was behind that stone. She's saying, Lord, don't you understand? There's a stench back there. There's decay back there. You don't want to go back there, Lord. Don't you know what that smell is like back there? In other words, I think she was saying, Jesus, this is worse than my teenage son's bedroom. It's not even Lynx Africa could possibly take away that smell that's in there. She was pointing something out. She's saying, listen, Jesus, there's some things in my life here. There's some things that are going on, and I'm not sure, God, if I want to let you come into those areas of my life. I don't know, God, if I want to give you access to those areas of my heart. I don't know if I want to allow you to have access to that part of my history. I don't know if you want to see behind the stone. I don't know if I want to let you in there, God, because I think actually Martha was afraid. Martha was afraid that maybe if Jesus came and He could see behind that stone, that maybe that Martha felt like that God would judge her for what was behind that stone. She felt that maybe even that God would reject her if He knew what was like behind that wall that she'd put up. But listen, can I tell you this morning, Jesus already knows. And he already knew what was on the other side of that stone. Martha actually didn't need to tell him. Jesus knew there was some corruption behind that stone. He knew there was a stench behind that stone. Jesus knew what was there, but listen, he wasn't focused on it. You got to know that. Jesus sees you. Jesus knows you. He knows what's behind that wall. He knows what's behind sometimes the things that we put up, but he's not focused on it. And let me tell you, he's not put off by it. Why? Because Jesus didn't come to judge you and I for our sins. You know, Jesus didn't come, the Bible says, to judge you for your sins. Jesus came on the cross to be the judgment for your sins. Jesus didn't come to hang on a cross to point his finger at humanity. No, the Bible says that actually Jesus, those hands were, they were nailed to the cross because he was taking the sin. And the Bible says he was taking the judgment for our sin upon himself. Jesus was absorbing, the Bible says, all of the penalty, all of the judgment for every sin that every single human being had ever committed, past, present, and future. The Bible says that Jesus, the very spotless Lamb of God, he took the penalty for our sin. So Jesus did not come to judge you and I for our sins. No, the Bible says Jesus came to be that judgment for our sins. Why? So that you and I could receive forgiveness and that you and I could receive resurrection life. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says this, for he, that's God, for he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, that's why the Bible says Jesus was exactly the perfect exchange for us. The Bible says that he, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, he actually became sin for us. The judgment that we rightly deserve, the Bible says, all of that was put on Jesus. In other words, Jesus took my sin, Jesus took my shame, and the Bible says that Jesus took all the judgment and he took it upon himself. And the Bible says that in that, he takes away the stone. In other words, what was separating us from God was sin. The Bible says that Jesus, he took away the stone. In other words, when he came back to life, he took that stone away so that what separated us before from God would no longer be there. And I want to tell you this morning, the first decision that you and I believe can make to experience resurrection life into our life is to take the stone away. If it's sin, the Bible says that you and I can receive forgiveness. If there's hurt in our life, we can let that go. Whatever it is, when you will take that stone away, resurrection life can come into your world. You know, the second step to experiencing resurrection life is in John 11, verse 40. Jesus says to her now, he says, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You see, if you're going to experience resurrection life, first thing, you've got to take away the stone. The second step you've got to take is believe God. She says, if you would believe. I reckon those four words from Jesus to Martha, they were challenging words for Martha right then. He said, Martha, right now, if you would believe, if you would believe. Why were those words so challenging for Martha? Because Jesus was telling her to believe God, even though everything around her seemed dark and hopeless. John 14, verse 1, Jesus said these words. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Those words, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Do you know that word trouble there? It's actually a word that is pronounced this way. It means terrasso, terrasso. Jesus says, let not your heart be terrassoed. The word terrasso, it's a picture of water that has been stirred up. It's a picture of water that's been roiled up. I don't know if you've ever been to the beach before and gone for a swim, but you've gone after like a big storm that's come through. And you come into the water and maybe you go for a swim, and instead of the water being all clear and nice to swim in, instead of that kind of water, you get water that's got all this debris in it. You get all this water that's got all murky in it, because what's been happened is that water has been terrassoed. It's been stirred up. It's been roiled up. What Jesus is saying here, he's saying, let not your heart be stirred up. What it means is this, is that our hearts have plenty of opportunity in life to experience turmoil, to experience anxiety, to experience fear, to experience doubt, to experience worry and pressure. Martha, at this point right now, I think she's filled with all of those emotions. She's lost her brother. He's been gone now for 4 days. Everything looks dark. Everything looks like it's hopeless. And Jesus comes into her world and he says these words to Martha. He says, Martha, he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in God. I love that. I love that in this scripture here in John 14, verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, it's so easy to let our hearts get filled with fear and anxiety. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. I love that the word let is there because it means it must be a choice. It means that I can let fear and I can let anxiety take hold in my heart, or it means that also I can go to faith. I can choose to believe God. I can choose to trust him. Jesus is saying to Martha, he's saying, Martha, believe me. Even though everything seems dark right now, even though everything seems, looks like the situation is hopeless, if you'll have faith, Martha, if you'll believe, he says, then you will see the glory of God. If you believe, Martha, you will see the glory of God. And let me tell you this morning, I believe this, faith is not a feeling. Faith is a decision first, then it becomes a feeling. And that's good news because it tells me this, no matter what struggle you're going through, you don't have to wait for a feeling to come. You can choose faith. You can choose just like Martha did, right in the middle of the darkest, most difficult, most seemingly impossible situation, to have faith in God. It's deciding. Faith is making a decision to say, I'm going to believe God no matter what is going on. I love what it says in Psalm 116, verse 10. Listen to this psalmist. He says these words. He says, I kept on believing even when I said I am completely crushed, even when I was afraid and said no one can be trusted. I love the attitude of this psalmist. Because he was saying, he says, I've just made a decision. I'm going to keep on believing God. I've just made a decision that I'm going to put my faith in God. Even though he said, even though I've said to myself, I feel like I'm completely crushed, even though I feel fear, even though I feel like people have let me down, I call this grit your teeth faith. I reckon sometimes in life, you just got to grit your teeth and you got to say, I'm going to choose to believe God. I'm going to choose not to focus on my circumstances. I choose not to focus on my situation, but I'm going to believe God and I'm going to see the glory of God. So if you're going to experience resurrection power in your life, then you've got to believe God. First of all, you've got to roll away the stone. Second of all, you've got to choose to believe God. And the third step to experiencing resurrection life, it's in John 11, verse 43. And it says these words. It says, Jesus, he cried out with a loud voice. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died, that's Lazarus, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, I want you to come forth. You see, if you're going to experience resurrection life, then you need to come forth. You say, why does Jesus say this? You see, I understand that Jesus would, you know, he'd call a dead man to come back to life. I understand that. But why would Jesus then also call Lazarus to come forth? Or other words, why would he tell him to come out of that cave, come out of that tomb? Well, the answer is this. It's because Lazarus actually had a part to play in this miracle as well. Lazarus had to come forth. Lazarus had to respond to the word of God that was preached. You see, the word of God, the words of Jesus, they contain life and they contain power. They have resurrection power, the words of God, but they can only be accessed by a response. You see, when you and I respond to the word of God, when you and I in our own lives begin to take action on the word of God, it actually releases God's power into our life. You know, in the Bible, there's a story about Jesus, and he has an encounter with a man who the Bible says has a withered hand. And the picture that we would have got through a time in which this particular guy lived is no doubt that he would have kept that hand hidden away. Because in the culture of which he lived, many people would have considered wrongly that the reason that he had this withered hand was that was some kind of curse from God. And so this man would have often kept this hand. He would have kept it hidden away. And the Bible says that there's a moment where Jesus and this man come face to face. And Jesus actually, right at this moment, invites this man to respond. But he actually invites him to respond by doing something specific. He says to this man, he's had this withered hand, he says, I want you to stretch out your hand. I want you to do something here. There's power that's here. There's life that can flow here. The God's in this place. But he's saying, listen, you're going to have to stretch out your hand. And if you will respond, if you will take this step and stretch this hand out, then you're going to see the power of God begin to move. And I reckon for this guy right there, this was an act of faith. This was a step of faith, because this is something that he'd kept hidden. And now he was about to bring that out into view in front of everyone, including Jesus. But the Bible says that this man, he stretched out his hand. He took this step of faith. When he heard the word of God preached, he took this step of faith and he stretched out. And the Bible says he stretched it out. And as he stretched out his hand, it says it was completely restored. But let me tell you this, the miracle was only accessed when he stretched out his hand. The miracle was accessed when he responded. He discovered power, he discovered life, he discovered a God who loved him only when he made a response to that word that was preached. Lazarus in this story, he actually had something he needed to do. He needed to come forth. In other words, he was making here a decision that he was going to start moving in the direction of God. He was going to start taking these steps of faith towards God. And when he responded, we discovered that life had begun to flow into him. You see, when you and I experience resurrection life, the first thing needs to happen is we need to make this decision that I'm just going to roll away the stone. I'm just going to take away whatever's been a barrier. I want every divide to be removed away so that I can see God, so that I can have this experience with God. The second thing that you and I need to do is, once we've taken away that stone, is we need to put our faith in Christ. Yes. We need to put our trust in him. It's to believe him. And for many of you here today, maybe sometimes it seems like, man, things are dark, or things are challenging in my life, or things are difficult. Can I tell you this? Sometimes it's in the darkest moments that you only can discover the light of Christ shining so brightly in your world. Choose to believe. And the final thing that you and I need to do is we need to come forth. And that's learn to be a responder to God, to make a decision and to take a step of faith.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.